Good evening. It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The first trial of a biker involved in the deadly Waco Twin Peaks shootout is underway. Opening statements started this afternoon in Waco. Jacob Carzal is president of the Dallas chapter of the Bandidos Motorcycle Group. Two rival groups, the Bandidos and Cossacks, fought in the restaurant's parking lot in 2015. The deadliest biker shootout in U.S. history left 9 bikers dead and 20 wounded. Meanwhile, the Associated Press reports that evidence from prosecutors shows state and local law enforcement had overwhelming intelligence of impending violence at the showdown between the motorcycle gangs, and they did little to prevent the meeting from taking place. That's according to documents provided to the AP. Almost 7,000 Texas inmates have donated over $53,000 to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. Inmates can choose to donate money from their personal commissary funds, which are normally used to buy items like pens, paper, and food. The Texas Department of Criminal Justice says this is not the first time prisoners in the state have contributed to disaster relief efforts. Brandi Grissom is Austin Bureau Chief for the Dallas Morning News. She talked with Public Radio's Texas Standard.
This started back in 2005 after Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana, and a number of inmates approached wardens and other prison officials and said they wanted some way to help out, and they actually wanted to give money. And so the prison system, you know, found that they could donate to the Red Cross and use their commissary funds to do that.
The average donation is about $8, but some inmates have donated between $100 and $200. Texas inmates also donated to victims of Hurricane Rita the same year as they did for Katrina. American students have racked up more than $1 trillion in loan debt. And the majority of these loans are managed by a handful of loan servicing companies who make more money when loans last longer. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Fusion reporter Danny Rivero about risky student lending practices.
One of the biggest revenue generators for a company like Navient is what they call SLABs. It's student loan asset-backed securities. You know, for normal people speak, that means they're just taking a bunch of these loans and they're packaging them together and then selling them to people in the expectation that the students who took out the loans are going to pay them, and in the long run, you're going to make a lot of money on it. Now, that's been called into question because more and more people are defaulting on all these debts. And the big question is, you know, it might not happen this year, it might not happen next year, but at some point, are all these defaults going to add up? And are you just asking people to put money into a bubble? And is that going to pop? Student loan debt has become the largest consumer debt in the country over the last 8 or so years. So right now, people owe more on student loan debt than even mortgages in this country.
Danny Rivera's article, How the Student Loan Industry Fails Young Americans, appears on Fusion's website. You can find a link to it and subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. This episode of Think reairs tonight at 10. There's an ongoing debate in Dallas over what to do with Confederate monuments and symbols across the city. A similar debate is happening in the Dallas School District. A unanimous school board says 4 Dallas schools named for Confederate leaders must change the names. The board is expected to consider new names in February. One of those schools is Stonewall Jackson Elementary. As KERA's Bill Zeebel reports, a new name brings mixed emotions for parents and educators.
And everybody who's on that committee, we want you to go research those names. So what I'm going to
On this Thursday evening, several dozen parents and teachers jam the air-conditioned library for one of Stonewall Jackson's regular community meetings. It's a good turnout at the East Dallas School, which is on Mockingbird Lane near Central Expressway. There's talk for a bit about cars going too fast in school zones. Then they move on to a hotter topic.
If we are forced, and we are being forced, the board is telling us what we have to do. If we are forced to make this life-changing decision to rename this school.
Frida Apodaca is a special education teacher at Stonewall Jackson Elementary. Her children attended this school. She says the community needs more time to make such a serious, sensitive change. And she hopes school board members will give it to them because it's important. She asks, what's in a name?
A name defines a person. It's like when you name your child.
The meeting was emotional. Some were in tears, and attitudes about a name change were mixed. Some want to keep the Stonewall name on the school since 1939. It was named for Confederate General Thomas Jonathan Jackson, a prominent Confederate leader. Others welcome a change. An informal poll among some staff found most respondents wanted to keep the Stonewall name. Principal Melanie Manns is not taking sides. She lives nearby and she understands the emotions tied to the school's name. It's considered one of the best elementary schools in the district.
It's very, very difficult because they're so passionate and we've built such a reputation at Stonewall Jackson with that name.
The name change makes no sense to David Kuhn. The father of a Stonewall Jackson third grader says this school's earned its top reputation as a National Blue Ribbon winner because of strong parental involvement, diverse student body, celebrated garden, and deaf education program.
Thomas Jackson died 150 years ago, and Stonewall was a nickname. Now, it seems absurd to me to want to change the name Stonewall when so many kids identify with it. They are Stonewall stars. And my kid has already come up to me and said, "Daddy, why are they changing the name?" I can't come up with a logical answer for him because it is ridiculous.
Kuhn is not alone. Sean McDonald is Stonewall's music teacher. He gets a lot of questions about the school name because he's African American.
I don't tie Stonewall Jackson, the person back then, I don't tie him to injustices now. And I don't think having that name necessarily honors him in any way. You know, we are Stonewall Jackson. He is irrelevant at this point.
But he is relevant, says Tiffany Evans, who's also African American. She agrees that current parents and teachers help make this school succeed, but she believes the name does matter. She welcomes the name change for her and for her 10-year-old.
He's going to a school that's being named after someone who was honored for a lost cause, a traitorous type of thing. It is history, but that doesn't mean we have to name a school after it. That's what museums are full of. That's what books are for.
What's in a name, Shakespeare asked? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Stonewall parent Carolyn Wilmot seems to adopt that approach to her kid's school.
Taking away the name Stonewall isn't going to take away how amazing the school is. It's not. This school is made of the people that are inside it, the teachers that are there every day, the parents that are giving their time in the garden and giving their time in Dad's Club.
Wilmot's excited about the name change while understanding the stress she says parents and teachers are going through. A school committee is working to come up with new names, and she'll offer one of her own. It's not attached to a person. Instead, it's a reference to her community, East Dallas Elementary. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Coming up tomorrow morning, short films offer budding directors a chance to learn their craft and establish filmmakers an opportunity to play. Our big screen team talks about this underappreciated segment of movies with the curator of a short film roadshow coming to Dallas. That's tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. And for the evening, should be mostly clear tonight with a cool low around 58. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 85. It's 6:28. This is KERA News.